Chapter 30 this morning. Before we go there and read that, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to study your word, and I pray, Father, that your spirit would guide us, that you would help me as I stand here, Lord, to say what you once said, and Father, that your spirit would speak deeply into our hearts this morning. As the song says, our hearts hunger. Hopefully everyone here today, Lord, has come with a hungry heart for your word. And Lord, I pray that you would deliver that to us now in Jesus' name. Amen. The ups and downs of life. We have those, don't we? Let's begin reading there in verse 1, a Psalm of David. I will extol you, O Lord, for you have drawn me up and have not let my foes rejoice over me. O Lord, my God, I cried to you for help and you have healed me. O Lord, you have brought up my soul from Sheol. You restored me to life from among those who go down to the pit. Sing praises to the Lord, O you his saints, and give thanks to his holy name. For his anger is but for a moment and his favor is for a lifetime. Weeping may tarry for the night, but joy comes with the morning. As for me, I said in my prosperity, I shall never be moved. By your favor, O Lord, you made my mountain strong and you hid your face. I was dismayed. To you, O Lord, I cry, and to the Lord I plead for mercy. What profit is there in my death if I go down to the pit? Will the dust praise you? Will it tell of your faithfulness? Hear, O Lord, and be merciful to me. O Lord, be my helper. You have turned from me my mourning into dancing. You have loosed my sackcloth and clothed me with gladness, that my glory may sing your praise and not be silent. O Lord, my God, I will give thanks to you forever. Most of us at one time or another have experienced what it's like to recover from a serious illness. We get sick, maybe we have to have surgery, and then the recovery time, day by day we get better, and then one day we're back to what we feel is normal. However normal is defined, normal's different for you than it is me, right? But even though we prayed and we believed God during the illness and had others praying for us, when we get to the end of it, when it's all over and we feel like we're back to that normal stage, do we forget to stop and thank God? As great as modern medicine is, God is the ultimate healer, isn't he? God is the ultimate healer. Jesus is the great physician. We say that, we sing songs about that, but do we believe that? And if we believe that, and he's brought us through something, such as an illness or other kind of difficulty in life, do we stop and thank him for what he's done, the blessings that he's given us? We can see in the psalm that we just read, David didn't forget. Many scholars believe that at this time that David is ready to dedicate the house of the Lord, the temple. The Ark of the Covenant that was followed the Israelites all throughout the wilderness and so forth, that had not been a part of the temple for some time. Now David is now bringing the Ark back to the temple. Time for a celebration, not only in the life of the Israelites, but also in David's life. Now evidently, as we've read there also, David had gone through some sort of serious illness, and God had brought him through it. So it's time to praise God with genuine thanksgiving for the return of good health. I'm not sure what David's illness was. We're not told in this passage. We might line that up with other scripture and find out. We're not sure what it was or how long it lasted, but it had caused David to sink low. You know, a period of illness or difficulty in life can bring us down, right? David's enemies were even rejoicing when they heard David was down, hoping that maybe he might die. If David would die, he wouldn't be a threat to us anymore. And so David cried out to the Lord, and the Lord delivered him. The Lord brought David back from the brink of death. The Lord restored him from among those, it says, who would go down to the grave. He said, "Lord, you've rescued me from the pit." One day David would die, and you're going to die, and I'm going to die, right? We all come to that point one day, we're going to die. But for David, it wouldn't be now. He had another chance at life, another chance at life, because the Lord reached down and lifted him up. David had had a close call with death, evidently. And so that since the Lord pulled him through that, what a perfect time it is to praise the Lord. Amen. We should be more thankful for what the Lord has done for us, right? The least we can do is to praise him. Then in verse 4, David exhorts all of God's people to join him in this praise and thanksgiving. Verse 4 says, "Sing praises to the Lord, O you, his saints, and give thanks to his holy name." You know, that's the proper function of a New Testament church. We're the family of God, right? We sing about it often, don't we? We're the family of God at First Baptist Lexington. When one of us is down, we all feel it. That's what that means, to be a family, right? When one of us is struggling, we all feel it. When one of us has been healed and restored by God, then all of us should rejoice with them. It's how we roll, isn't it? Looking back over this low time in his life, David realized that it was just temporary. He may have felt like it was going to last a long time. And you do feel like it's going to last a long time, don't you? When you're down in the trenches and it's kind of just crawling, it doesn't seem like it's ever going to get better. But it got better. Verse 5 says, "For his anger is but for a moment, and his favor is for a lifetime. Weeping may tarry for the night, but joy comes in the morning." You wondered where that verse was at, didn't you? You said that before, but you weren't sure where you saw it. But there it is. So anger, it says his anger's for a moment, but his favor's for a lifetime. Weeping may tarry, but joy comes in the morning. So if you're going through some type of difficulty right now, can I encourage you this morning and say that it's only temporary? Amen. It's not going to last. If you've committed your life to Jesus, then God's favor is on you. Isn't that remarkable? Man, that's the greatest thing that you'll ever hear. God's favor is on me. It's on you. The blood of Jesus has covered your sins. If we don't get any more favor than that, that's enough, isn't it? The blood of Jesus has covered your sins, causing the favor of God to rest on you. When God is angry, and I imagine he's angry, really is quite a bit these days, don't you? But it's for a moment. But his favor is for a lifetime for those who trusted Jesus as Savior. Knowing that because we've trusted Jesus as Savior and God's favor is on us, sorrow is just for a moment. Hurting is just for a moment. Bad health is just for a moment. It's just for a little while, like the passing of the night. You know, there's a lot to be said about that, isn't there? You know, things always look and feel better in the morning, usually, don't they? We get to the end of the day, and we've struggled all through that day, and we faced one problem after another, or one difficult person after another, and we're just wore down at the end of the day, just tired and worn down. But after we've slept and get up in the morning, things are just different. That's what I say all the time at work when we're trying to figure out a problem. We just can't get it. I'll say, let's just put it on the table and look at it with fresh eyes in the morning. Because it makes a difference, doesn't it? Sorrow is the same way, just for a moment. But joy comes in the morning. Now, I'm telling you, this advice from the Lord is for every age group, right? It's for a child, it's for a teenager, it's for you and me and all of us, right? Sorrow or trouble is just for a moment. It's not going to last forever. And because it's not going to last forever for you, is because you've trusted Christ as your Savior. God's favor is on you. It's not going to last forever, right? Joy comes in the morning. That's what it is. There's light at the end of the tunnel of grief. Light at the end of the tunnel of difficulty and despair. Here's another lesson David learned. Was not to trust in prosperity. Before David's illness, he was like a mountain that could not be moved. That's what the scripture is saying there. It's like a mountain that cannot be moved. He was prosperous. He was self-reliant. It seemed like he didn't have anything to fear or anything to worry about, and everything was going great. Got plenty of money, got plenty of servants. Can have anything I want and everything I want, and some things that I don't need, like we studied in Sunday school this morning. See, if you're missing Sunday school, you're missing half of the thing here, because we're talking about David in Sunday school, and we're talking about David here. See, hint, hint. So David thinks he's on Easy Street, and out of nowhere, the flow of blessings stops. You ever been there before? You ever been there where everything was just going great? And usually when things are going great, we forget about God, don't we? And we start thinking that we did it. And then one day the blessings stop and we wonder what happened, right? What happened, God? Everything was going so good and all of a sudden the blessings stop. David, right there it said in verse 7, he said, "By your favor, O Lord, you made my mountain stand strong." And then it says, "You hid your face, and I was dismayed." All of a sudden, God feels like he had hidden his face from David, which means the blessings stopped. Seemed like God was angry with him and had withdrawn his favor from David. Life had become a nightmare. And then notice in verse 8 that David's situation caused his prayers to become more intense. That's what happens, isn't it? We get to that point, we feel like things are not going like they used to be, and my life's becoming a nightmare, and I'm just going to fall on my face before God and just beg Him. And we do. Our prayers get more intense, don't they? We get more serious with God all of a sudden. When David was prosperous and everything was going great, maybe his prayers were kind of dull and lifeless, you know. But now that he's in trouble, his prayers become much more intense, much more sincere. He began to reason with God that if he died, he would be of no benefit to God. The dead, lifeless remains of David could not praise God, and his dust could not proclaim God's faithfulness. What it says in verse 9, what profit is there in my death if I go down to the pit? The pit means the grave. Will the dust praise you? Will it tell of your faithfulness? Now, such an argument with God doesn't really seem reasonable to us, does it? Does it really do any good to argue with God? Does it? Who are you arguing with? Mainly yourself, right? Doesn't hold much weight. Why would you argue with God about such? But we really shouldn't be too hard on David, right? Because of that, you know, because we're much like him, aren't we? Back in verse 5, David had interpreted his illness as a sign of God's anger. And what we got to remember about David is that he was on the other side of the cross. And we're on this side of the cross. And maybe he didn't yet understand that God chastens those whom he loves. We know that now, don't we? Hebrews 12:6 says, "For the Lord disciplines the one he loves and chastises every son whom he receives." Illness doesn't necessarily mean that God's mad at you. Because you're sick, it doesn't matter that it doesn't necessarily mean that God's angry with you. It could be that you're sick because God loves you. I don't know why. Why would he choose sickness to demonstrate his love for me? Well, maybe he needs to slow us down a little bit, right? Like David, he was on the zone easy street there. Everything's going good. I'm prosperous. My needs are met. I'm healthy. My family's healthy. And everything's going great. But the problem is sometimes when we're flying down easy street, we forget to take God with us, right? And so maybe we need to be slowed down a little bit. Maybe we need to be put on our backs so we can look up and remember God. So if you feel that God is angry with you or that he's chastising you, consider it an honor, right? It's an honor because it's a sign that God loves you. Amen. Yet at times we, like David, often slip into the flawed thinking that sickness and suffering are surely marks of God's displeasure on me. Also in verse 9, David is thinking that if he died, he would no longer be able to praise God. Yet on this side of the cross, we know that when we die, our spirit departs from our bodies and goes to be with Jesus, right? So there's not an interruption of praise, is there? When I die, my body or my spirit's going to depart and be with Jesus. My body's going to go to the grave. And I'm going to worship Jesus forevermore. and much more so than I ever have in my entire life on this planet, right? I'm going to worship the Lord like never before. We understand that better on this side of the cross. But even though David had limited knowledge, it seems like, and some of the other Old Testament saints, even though they have limited knowledge, it seemed like their praise of God was much higher and stronger than ours is. Why is that? Well, you know, he talked about in there, God, you've removed my mourning and turned it into dancing. Oh my goodness, Baptists don't dance, do they? Heaven forbid. But David danced. David danced in worship to the Lord. And I'm not suggesting that we start dancing, so don't worry. But it just goes to show, it seems that these Old Testament saints' praise and worship of God far exceeds our praise and worship to God. What are we scared of anyway? I don't know. I think we've become sophisticated. I've told this story before. When I went to seminary in Memphis, it was at Mid-America Baptist Theological Seminary. And at that time, they were in Midtown on Poplar Avenue in an old Jewish synagogue. And it was an old Jewish synagogue and Hebrew school, and it was right at that time in the back door of what was Bellevue Baptist Church before they moved out west. When we were in that old Jewish synagogue, man, we had some chapel services in there, Robert, like you would not believe. The worship and the praise and the preachers up there preaching and were hooping and hollering and praising God. You would swear that that was not a bunch of Baptists in there. But then we moved to Germantown and we got sophisticated, Melvin. Got sophisticated. Moved out to what was Germantown Baptist Church. They had outgrown their facility and moved farther out toward Collierville, built a whole new plant. And this businessman, by the way, in Memphis, bought their old facility for I don't know how many millions of dollars and gave it to Mid-America Seminary. You don't think God's got the money to do stuff like that? That's amazing. That's amazing. That's a story for another time. But when we moved out there with the chapel services, we were in this nice auditorium, everything like proper, and it seems like we got sophisticated because the praise wasn't quite like it used to be down at the old building. I was kind of wishing we'd just go back to the old building. If that was going to hurt our praise of God, got sophisticated. That I think that's what's wrong with a lot of us today. We're just too sophisticated to worship God. That's what the Pentecostals are supposed to do, right? Of course, they do some pretty crazy stuff in there, right? Some of my best friends are Pentecostals, by the way. I was nurtured under a Pentecostal pastor, by the way, not a Baptist one. Does that shock you? Does that rattle your cage? So that's what's wrong with you, preacher. That's why you raise your voice and get goofy sometimes. But David praised the Lord. Our worship, our prayer life, our hunger and zeal for God should be greater knowing what we know today, right? We've got the full Bible in front of us. We're on this side of the cross. We know that Jesus went to the cross for us. We know that he shed his blood for us. We know that he died and he rose again. He's with us forevermore, and we trust him as Savior. Amen. We got something to praise God about, right? And then, like I said, David's thankfulness and praise caused his mourning to go to joy. He says, "You've removed my sackcloth of mourning, and you've given me a suit of gladness." And now he can praise God with his life and give thanks to God forevermore. May you and I not forget to give glory where glory is due, right? To be careful to thank God for his blessings and his faithfulness. God has given us the example of David to follow. He's given us the example of other of these Old Testament saints to follow. And he's given us the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise God. If you believe that, stand to your feet. And let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, we are grateful, Lord, to be in your presence. We're so thankful for your Spirit who has taught us and instructed us today, Lord. I pray that you would help us to be more like Jesus and to worship you more like these Old Testament saints did, who even with limited knowledge that they had, their praise seemed so much stronger sometimes, Lord. Forgive us where we're weak and where we failed you, Lord. Help us to do better. Forgive us. Father, I pray that if there's anyone who needs to make a decision today, Lord, that during the invitation time, that this will be the time that they do that. We give you the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.